Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, stylish school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, just celebrating the 15th anniversary. And the infamous Across the Pond UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader. Mitch Francis, he's an entrepreneur, he's a multiple field CEO, an inventor, and he's the author of Badass Solutions, the Badass Problems. He'll be joining me, along with Emil Joe Henwood. He's a former international rower, and he's the author of The Great American Hero, Remembering Marian Anderson. Then it's the Sports Doctors In segment with some Dr. Bob Wisdom, your emails. Mitch Francis, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. Good to be with you.
It's a really interesting, you know, you being this major, major problem solver of major areas. Mitch, give us some background on yourself leading to your badass problems and solutions.
Sure. I have a very extensive business background. I've created and been the CEO of publicly traded companies and private companies for 40 years. And I developed and continued to own commercial properties and manage them throughout the U.S. And you know, it's interesting. Every business person and others, but certainly every business person, has to develop really good problem-solving skills, because on their path toward reaching any goal, roadblocks are thrown at every step of the way, and you
right, and
develop.
That's whether you're a superstar, a weekend warrior, or a coach of a team or a sports parent. Those kinds of skills are important, regardless, aren't they?
They really are. If you don't have skills to go over, around, or through every problem, you're not going to reach your goals. And you're right. You're right. It's whatever it is you set out to do. This is not an easy world. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of bureaucracy to get through. Almost anything you want to do. So having skills to solve the problems that are thrown your way is critical. But there's another incredibly important factor along with it, Dr. Bob. If you're not tenacious, you're not going to make it. You have to have grit. You have to just never let go of that dream.
Well, these are the kinds of things, again, that, for give or take a few weeks, four decades on the Sports Doctor, when we would be talking about, I would call it the mental game, whether it was psychologists and psychiatrists and personal trainers, again, high achievers, mm-hmm. talking about taking on some of these challenges and involving so much the kinds of skills you're talking about. But you've decided in your book to go after some, whether it's the environment, whether it's addiction, whether it's healthcare, whether it is all of these incredibly quote-unquote insolvable chronic kinds of problems, you've decided to take those on. Huh? Good luck to you.
Thank you. You know, and it came about, it was something that, you know, you being in Chicago, it's kind of close to your heart. A couple years ago, you know, the Highland Park shooting, where seven people were killed by a crazed young man with assault rifles. Well, one of those people that he killed is the brother of my brother-in-law.
Oh, gosh.
With whom I'm very close. And, you know, needless to say, the family was just devastated. This was just the greatest guy you've ever come in contact with who was killed. And and I left this, Dr. Bob, with anger. And I looked around and I saw all these really major problems that we have in our country. And, you know, I've always been kind of a news guy and current events and everything that would come up, you know, based on the problem-solving skills we were just discussing, I seem to say, well, you know, we could fix that. We could take care of that. And it prompted me to create an outline, just to see what I was even talking about. You know, noting all these problems. And I finished this outline. I said, "Holy crap, this is a book!" And I had no intention of writing a book, but that's just 2 years ago, and now there's badass solutions.
Well, you know, one of the things we talk about a lot on the Sports Doctor is the whole world of pain management and pain pill opioid crisis, mm-hmm. and the idea of the addiction side of things and that kind of world. We talk a lot about the challenges of social media with our teenagers and our kids growing up in this crazy environment. Mm-hmm. Of course, all of this stuff was multiplied times 100 by the pandemic,
sure.
Which made things in so many, although it came up with solutions with so many different crazy ways. And what are your thoughts? Again, if you're talking kids and schools and school systems, and guns. What's your remedy for assault rifles?
Well, you just named an awful lot of problems right there.
Right.
But there are all kinds of things that have come up, you know, in terms of students and young people and athletes. And you know, I was thinking about what I could contribute to your audience today. And you know, there are, you know, certainly issues that, you know, that I address and that, you know, that affect everybody. But one of the things that I think might be of interest is I think that young people, and particularly people who are successful and maybe, you know, finding success in athletics, they need to save their money. They need to invest their money. They need to take advantage of the individual retirement accounts that the government lets us have. It's like the best deal in the United States.
Yeah, it's a big topic. The financial side of youth sports, the business side, whether you have a son or daughter who's on a traveling team, on a club team, we just enjoyed the incredible Olympics over the past few weeks, and you say to yourself, what does it take to get there? Let alone to afford to get there.
Oh, yeah.
Especially now, all of a sudden, over this past year, so now they're paying athletes in college, that whole world. So that's a great point, which is, again, the education, not only of the young athlete themselves, but their parents, Mitch.
Yes.
As well as the coaches in these kinds of relationships. Do you have a site? Where do people get the book?
Amazon. It's available anywhere, Barnes & Noble, but you know, the easiest certainly is Amazon. If they just look up bad-ass solutions or Mitch Francis, you can go, you know, right to the book.
You know, the idea, again, of these major points, you know, talking about environmental, I had a scientist on the show last week. We were talking about the whole climate change denial and those kinds of challenges. Mm-hmm. And one of the points was, with the Olympics just being over and the heat and whatever, there were discussions whether or not there could be summer games in the future because of the excessive heat.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
The I mean, you've thrown in, you're taking on the environmental challenge at the same time, Mitch.
Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think that's one of my most exciting solutions, actually, is, you know, global warming is causing the polar ice caps to melt at a rate that would fill 20 Olympic-sized swimming pools every second. It's just incredible to think of.
And the badass solution is? What's the solution, my friend?
The solution is I've actually come up with how to stop the ocean levels from rising and at the same time use all that fresh water for the desperate people living in the most parched areas of our world. And I tell you what I found, Dr. Bob, is all that water that I just talked about that would fill all those swimming pools, it's only a tiny fraction of the water that's going into the oceans from just our 20 largest rivers. So if we rechannel just 7% of the water in our 20 largest rivers to the the desperate, parched areas of the world, the arid areas, we can stop the ocean levels from rising and also stop hunger and thirst in the world. We can actually save the planet this way.
It's a big part of the migration concern. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And my website just relaunched, thesportsdoctorradio.com. You could go to that. We had this nightmare in the past with the, trying to retrieve the original one. So thesportsdoctorradio.com, and you'll find out all about different stuff that we were involved with, talking with Mitch Francis, multiple field CEO, inventor, author of The Badass Solutions. The famous Canfield, the guy with chicken soup for the soul. Didn't you write the foreword to your book saying
if
people pay attention to any of your solutions, it might be a great thing? Right.
He was so kind. He said it could actually change the world.
It's an interesting. It'll be interesting to see the kind of feedback you get. You know, again, you mentioned the areas of healthcare, which is such a big deal. I have experts on all the time, involving so many situations with the new medicine, which is to try to eat smarter, try to keep moving, try to reduce stress as best you can in a society that is deluged with drug commercials every 2 minutes or diet commercials every 5 minutes. And, you know, the concern of obesity and the diabetes concern. So again, you know, the healthcare world is a gigantic one, needs as much help as it can get. Do you touch base with that too? I think you do.
Oh, I do. I do. I talk about reviving the healthcare system, you know, that is so sick. You know, everybody loves the idea that we have the best healthcare in the world, and yet everybody's unhappy with it. It needs a lot of changes, and I certainly address the cost of healthcare and why it's so difficult, and what we can do about it.
Yes, we've always had the only industrialized country in the world that doesn't look at healthcare as a right versus a privilege, and hopefully we're moving again in that direction, where we have situations again. With the pain pill scourge and the addictions on that side, and the kinds of concerns that individuals have with all this stress. There's so much stress involved, and the mind-body
stress is really the killer, isn't it?
Yes. Well, the mind-body connection is a topic, mindfulness, that 10 years ago medicine didn't know how to spell mind-body. We've decided to pay big, big attention again to this whole mental side, whether you're trying to stick to your new diet or exercise program, or you're trying to deal with the pressure of your son or daughter who's a talented athlete, and you've got all of these different pressures dealing with these things. So the solutions in dealing with the mental side of a lot of these things, you pay big attention to that, don't you, regardless of the problem?
Oh, of course. Of course. And by the way, I was a professional athlete. I don't know if you know that, but when I was young, I was a professional skier. My goal was to be in the Olympics.
I hope you had orthotics in your skis, my friend. It's one of my specialties. The world of figure skating. Absolutely. Well, again, the idea of the pressure, and I'm sure you faced it, not only the financial pressure, with lessons and all of these other things, or the pressures, whether you would get a scholarship or et cetera, and that had to be quite an experience. I think that's probably blended into everything that you were doing. Like you talked about the discipline, what it would take to be a great athlete. So that's something I'm sure that contributed to this all this attitude on these different problems.
It truly did, and it's interesting because there were, you know, back in that day there was no money, to be a successful skier, you know, even
no. I worked with the Olympic. I worked with the Olympic volleyball team since the late 70s and 80s. They all worked at McDonald's. They all had side jobs.
They all
came to see my famous therapist friend, the late great Bob Guida, in order to be two steps quicker or prevent injury. But most of the Olympic world, you know, was on their own when it came to the Netflix. That's changed a lot, to say the least,
It was only amateurs allowed in the Olympics. Just a couple decades ago.
It's going to be interesting to see, Mitch, how the, again, whether it's the business world, whether it's big pharma, whether it is the environmental powers, it's going to be interesting to see how many of them are coming after you or cooperating, looking to cooperate with you. What's been some of your initial feedback?
Well, it's like what you were talking about with Jack Canfield, who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. People are saying, you know, I really like one or two of these ideas so much that speaks to my heart. And how do we get involved? How do we make a change? I'm just one person. And that's been really my biggest interest is, you know, we need to, these problems are solvable. Here are the solutions. Let's get these done. And all of us can be involved. Young people, you know, need to look a little past just themselves. Get involved. Help things
Mitch,
go.
I knew the time would fly by with you. Is there a website, or just besides the book, is there a site where you and some of your work?
Yeah, there's a badasssolutions.com. Bad-asssolutions.com, yeah.
Oh, great. That's a great title. Mitch Francis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed being with you.
You got some great stuff, so we're going to definitely include you in the future. So hold on a minute. Everybody will be right back. It's the Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Joining me, Emil Joe Henwood. He's a former international rower, Navy pilot. He's the author of The Great American Hero, Remembering Marian Anderson. Joe, welcome to The Sports Doctor.
Thanks very much, Dr. Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Give us some background on yourself, your rowing career, maybe a little bit of the pilot action, leading to you getting yourself so involved with this high-performance athlete, the great Marian Anderson.
Well, Dr. Bob, you're asking me to dig back into my past a long time ago, but I'll give my best shot at it. I'm a part of a family in Philadelphia here. Our father started in the sport of rowing back in 1938. He won several national championships himself. I did also. And I'm married to a six-time women's national rowing champion who is in the National Rowing Hall of Fame. And we have two sons who are 6'6" and 6'7". And they were good at ball sports and every other kind of sport. So we kept them out of the crazy sport of rowing, which is very rewarding. But, it's a hard sport to get into and stay in because the equipment is extremely expensive. You need to have a very high cost waterfront property to have the boathouses located on. And you sit on your ass, you go backwards, you can't see where you're going, and you can't make any money.
Plus you're a team, yes.
We kept our kids out of it. You're a member of a team.
Yes, you're a member of a team. Well, then, you know, again, because we talk so much on the Sports Doctor about youth sports, sports, parents,
yes.
The relationship of the coaches, the kids, et cetera. And many times, you know, there's a chapter in my book, Hashtag A Sports Parents, called The Prodigy Sports, where we're talking about specialization very, very early. I'm sure maybe rowing was part of some of that, where you get involved very early and you're doing that basically. But you got to be a good teammate. And there wasn't. It's not like it's football or basketball, even baseball, where there's a lot of money in scholarships. It's a real specialty sport.
Yes, it is. And people don't realize that there are a lot of scholarships available in rowing, of which I was offered several and took one of them. But the sport of rowing actually preceded baseball, basketball, football, and everything else. It was the number one gambling sport prior to 1880. And because there were so many professionals involved with it, and it got corrupted, and so they threw out all the professionals and went to strictly amateur status after 1880.
Right. And, of course, rowing has always been a big part of fitness forever. Every health club, it's always been a big part of it. It's an overall body exercise, excellent, you know, aerobically, and yep. as well as strength-wise in so many different ways. And, you know, Joe, how did you get involved? This music superstar, a lady who worked with, helped Jackie Robinson on the side of sports and civil rights. Tell us about the great Marian Anderson and how you got so involved in her life.
Well, Dr. Bob, here in Philadelphia, which is my hometown and Marian Anderson's hometown, every year they had what they called a Marian Anderson Awards event at the main music venue in Center City, Philadelphia. And in 2018, I decided I was going to go to it. But before I did, I started researching her on the internet because I was familiar with her name because of my grandparents. When I was 8 or 9 years old, 65 years ago or more, I used to go to my grandparents' home, and they would always be listening to Marian Anderson records, and they loved her. And, of course, as an 8 or 9-year-old kid, I didn't particularly appreciate it. I'd rather be listening to rock and roll and Elvis Presley at the time.
Well, was she blues or jazz, or what was her genre?
Oh, she was classic. She was a classic.
Okay.
A classic soloist who sang on every major stage in the world for over 50 years to sold out audiences on every continent. And before I went to this Marian Anderson Awards, I decided I'd look her up on the internet, and holy mackerel, I found out that she was born on the same street back in 1897 where my grandmother lived, who was always listening to her records. My grandmother was 5 years older than her and lived four blocks away from where Marian Anderson was born and lived.
I think that was a sign. Wouldn't you call that a sign, Joe?
I think that's, Dr. Bob, I'm a believer, and I believe that was divine providence, because it led me 65 years later to write her 24th biography. And
again, you know, when we talked about I've had performers as guests for decades, on and off, talking to them, including a couple of magicians also thrown in as well, let alone Mick Jagger at 80 years old, still prancing around and flying all over the place physically. Again, talking to individuals, and Marian was an example of one, of the kind of shape that she'd have to stay in or pay attention to handle this kind of career.
Well, talk about shape. She was born in 1897. She was 5'10", 150 pounds. And even by today's standards, that's a pretty sizable person. And she enjoyed very good health for just about the full century that she lived, because she took very good care of herself. She was always in shape, physically, spiritually, and she just had to take care of herself, and she did a good job of it.
Yes, so, it's always a big part of it. And again, you know, she had pioneering roles, not only in music, but also, I guess, again, in diplomacy and in the various areas of the civil rights world. And, you know, what better example of a sports connection, my gosh, than Jackie Robinson?
Huh. Well, if you want to hear that story, I'd be happy to share it with you right now.
Give it to us quickly.
All right, quickly. Marian Anderson's business manager from 1935 on through her historic concert when she broke through the glass ceiling for breaking down racial barriers in 1939.
Wow.
At the Lincoln Memorial, her business manager was a gentleman named Saul Horrock. Saul was a resident of Brooklyn. He was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan. And when it came time for Branch Rickey, who was the president and general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1943, when he got the green light from his board to go and find the right man to integrate baseball, he got in touch with Saul Horrock, who was his neighbor and a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, because he was managing a person who had overcome all kinds of diversity and with grace and dignity, and that being Marian Anderson. So he got him to bring Marian Anderson on board to coach up Jackie Robinson very quietly, so he would become not the hothead that he started out as, but become the pioneer to break through the racial barrier in professional Major League Baseball. So Marian Anderson and Jackie Robinson became fast friends prior to his appearance on the baseball field in 1947, when he stepped on as a number 42 of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
You know, it's a fascinating point, and you just mentioned it, Joe, where the Branch Rickeys or the others in baseball were looking for the right, quote-unquote, person who would help integrate baseball, whatever that means, right? Whatever that could mean in 1,000 different directions, but to include somebody, a woman who had broken the barriers already in her own world in a lot of ways, had experienced what it would take physically and mentally, What a great idea that was. And you mentioned another interesting point, which is the ability for Jackie Robinson, this incredibly gifted, competitive athlete, to handle the mayhem that he had to with grace and dignity. That was a big role for her to play. That's quite a story.
Well, Jackie Robinson, prior to that, Dr. Bob, was a real hothead. And he,
He'd rip your head off,
but he couldn't be that kind of a person on the ball field, being the first black person on it, because it would have ruined it for everybody
else. Although by the 10th time he stole home, might have been, you know, that it was a little bit of a venom on either side.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, but the term diplomacy and, you know, the relationship in so many different areas, what else in the myriad of things that stood out in your discovery of who this lady was, the perseverance, the discipline, the resilience that you make such a big deal about? What were some of these?
Some of the other things I found out was how brave and heroic she was off stage. I mean, she was the top performing concert soloist in the entire world for years and years and years. That's stamina in itself. But off stage, she was just as regal and inspirational as she was on stage. And she was brave and heroic in the sense that, why do I say this? Because following her, every classical concert that Miss Anderson ever performed on any stage anywhere, she always concluded by singing spirituals as her testimony to her personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even under the constant threat of being jailed by communists in Russia, Nazis in Germany, and fascists in Austria for doing so.
You know, it would be fascinating to find out what her thoughts were on how the term racism compared in America and in all these international places she went. How we fit in to that mosaic would have been interesting. I wonder if she ever talked about that, on how
she did.
We compared.
She did. She basically said that she said her faith is what gave her the freedom to do what she did, and whatever was in my voice, she said, my faith would put it there. So that was the key. The secret weapon that she had behind her.
And again, in the world of classic music, the physical side is a big deal. The idea, again, whether it's the breathing apparatus, the whole idea of voice training in order to be able to sing for that long, especially, again, for that kind of demand. I want to talk more about that on the other side. We're talking with Emile Joe Henwood. And he is the author of The Great American Hero, Remembering Marian Anderson and Throwing in His Great International Rowing Career. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey everybody, live from Chicago, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. I'm talking with Emile Joe Henwood, a former international rowing star, Navy pilot, and the author of this great American hero, Remembering Marian Anderson, this classical singer who performed all over the world. Before the break, Joe, we were talking about the physical training side of a performer of that kind of level. Evidently, she paid big attention to that.
I'm sorry, I didn't pick the last part of the, what you said, Bob. That
she paid big attention to the physical side.
Oh, she paid major league attention to it. Yeah, she always kept herself in shape and always exercised, not just her body, but her voice. She always had a professional voice coach, even though she was the best singer in the world. She never gave up on practicing, always practicing.
And one of the concerns, of course, was overdoing it many times with any specialty, including music, where we would see overdoing too much, too aggressive. You need rest and recovery. You have to pay attention to that side of it. And often these would be things that were not at the front end of, you know, trying to do more and being more active, more aggressive in so many different ways. And that's why, again, you considered her a high-performance athlete.
I can say that she was right up there. I know dozens of high-performance athletes from my career, and I would put her right in there with them, absolutely.
And again, the mental side, which we talk so much about on the Sports Doctor, where I'm dealing with whether I have psychiatrists, a sports psychologist, or mental trainers, others on the side of, again, rest and recovery, the ability to be able to perform at your best consistently, let alone over a long-term career, the mental side's a big deal, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. How many athletes you know lasted over 50 years like she did?
Exactly.
And may I interject something that I mentioned to you before right now about rowers?
Sure.
We have a slogan in rowing. Rowers are true athletes. All the rest just play games.
I like it. Hey, how'd the USA, how'd we do? I thought we did pretty well. How'd we do in the Olympics?
We got 40 golds and, I don't know how many, about 134, 140 total medals. And we walked away with it again. But the Chinese are really on our heels right now. But unfortunately, my sport, the rowing, did not fare very well. They only got one gold medal and a bronze medal. So I'm a little upset about that, but that's the way it goes. You know, the rest of the world's coming along.
And again, you know, are there solo rowing events besides all these team events that we've been used to seeing our whole lives?
There's categories. There's multiple levels of rowing that has multiplied since I was involved with it. But they have singles. I rowed a single in high school and won the schoolboy national rowing championships twice in high school. And then they have doubles, two men, pairs, two men, fours with four men, and eights with eight men. Most of the time, the only thing you see on television are the eights and the fours.
So who's faster, you or your wife?
she can kick my butt from here.
I'm wondering, you know, I'm picturing a gym in front of me, you know, and, you know, staying in shape and whatever. I'm wondering if you include rowing in your exercises.
No, because I said, as I told you, it's a crazy sport. You sit on your ass, you go backwards, you can't see where you're going, and you can't make any money. But it is a great exercise. And
I'll tell you, my colleague, Bob Guider, who worked with the best athletes in the world over decades that I spent with him at Sports Fitness Institute, working with many, and again, rowing individual, huge shoulder, upper back, neck, core. And he'd make a big deal, again, in my specialty sports podiatry, he'd make a big deal about strengthening the feet and ankles, which they looked at him like he was nuts in the beginning until they really, really paid attention to how much the whole lower extremity meant in that world. What are some of the big-time colleges that include rowing, Joe?
Oh, Harvard and Yale and University of Pennsylvania, Stanford, even Notre Dame has a rowing team. And by the way, at West Point, the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, New York, has a rowing team. Annapolis, the U.S. Naval Academy, has always had rowing. And it's a major sport. My school was a rowing school, but not one of the top ones. However, there are many, many, many thousands of people in rowing. When I rowed back in the 60s, there were very few females in the sport, hardly any.
Yes.
So totally dominated by men. Today, over 65% of all the high-performance athletes in rowing are women. Yeah. So
Come a long way, baby. Hey, by the way, did you get Marion to include rowing in any of her training?
No, but she came down to Philadelphia's Boathouse Row several times. There are photographs of her performing down there. As you might know, Boathouse Row on the Schuylkill River in Philadelphia is a very historic tourist attraction now, and it's been there since the 1850s, these Victorian boathouses that were put up back in the
1850s. Philadelphia. One of my favorite radio guests, the famous orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Nick DiNoboli, is in Philly. He worked with the Eagles. He's worked with Philly Ballet and some of these others. So, you know, Philly has always been, is a tremendous sports town in just about every sport you can imagine. And I thought the Ivy League had for years been very involved in the world of rowing. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Well, Philadelphia, as you know, is a very big sports town with the Eagles and the Phillies and the Flyers. But rowing Philadelphia is actually the rowing capital of the country, if not the world, because it's been around for so long. And we have 15 boathouses on Boathouse Row here in Philadelphia that attract thousands and thousands of people and brings in millions of dollars of revenue to the local economy every year. But the sport is, it's been very much upgraded and commercialized. Back when I was there, it was totally amateur. Now it's very professional and very well done. But you're never going to see any customers for your services in podiatry for rowing. But for your orthopedic surgeon friends, they probably get a lot of referrals because of back injuries from rowing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. But again, you know, even in the area, what's the best shoe to be in for rowing? How important is, again, that propulsion on the lower extremities? That's my pearl for your world and the world of rowing, is absolutely include foot ankle strengthening. And then that scenario, who are the world powers in Olympic-wise this past Olympics in rowing? Was it China?
No, the world power was England, Great Britain. They won the gold medal in Paris, and the United States came in third. I forget who was second, but I want to let you know that if you come to Philadelphia sometime, I'll take you down and show you some of the boats. Every boat has what we call foot
stretchers. Joe, give us, I knew the time would fly. Give us quickly the best sites so people could find out about you and your book and the work.
They can go to my website, which is whywelovemarion.com, and they can find it there. They can go to Amazon. The name of the book is Remembering a Great American Hero, Marian Anderson, by Emil Henwood, me.
Fantastic. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor Is In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and shows, get a little bit of Dr. Bob wisdom, answer a few emails. Next week, Dr. Scott Bertrand, he created a whole core exercise sequence and machines, and he'll be joining us. Dr. Nicole Sebastian, the whole area of social working and psychology, whether it's sports, families, parents, and coaches, these kinds of relationships will be joining. And with that, the following week, we're going to have possibly Rich Dubin, Lower Extremity Review magazine, and the upcoming shows, Dr. Gene Sevier, the areas and challenges of dementia. So many different great topics coming up. The Dr. Bob Wisdom, you know, the new medicine. We talked about it on the Sports Doctor a long time. The new medicine. Number one, eat smarter. It's up to you to get smarter about all the important parts of nutrition and your own individual self. You don't have to drive yourself nuts with diets. Eat smarter. Number two, keep moving. Whether you're a walker, whether you go to the gym, whether you practice yoga, whatever it is, calisthenics, you want to keep moving and stay active. What you do is up to you, whether you're lifting weights, et cetera, like we talked about, whether you're a runner, jogger. And number three is reduce stress. Whether you want to include things like meditation, rest and relaxation, major, major area, you need to spend some time each day paying attention to reducing stress, taking some of the pressure off, doing some breathing, whatever it happens to be. Pay attention to the new medicine. Some emails. Paul says, you know, the difference between custom and over-the-counter orthotics, you know, Paul, we talk about it a lot. There's a big difference. And podiatry is the major area of expertise. It's not the only one, but it's by far the most educated when it's coming to prescription orthotics. And the key word is prescription. Your feet, your son or daughter's feet, their ankles, their flexibility, their measurements, creating orthotics in order to enhance alignment, to make a difference in stability, especially in the world of skating. But almost in any sport. Over-the-counter is over-the-counter. It's shoe size. Even at a running shoe store, walking shoe store, it's in the direction of being individualized, but it's not a prescription custom orthotic. I make the analogy that if you wear prescription glasses, but you want to go to Walgreens and pick up a pair of readers or others, that aren't prescription, but they're in the area of paying attention. I talk about that like with Superfeet, the Dr. Scholl's, other over-the-counter devices, which can be helpful initially. Other than that, one's prescription, one isn't. Linda said, my 10-year-old son is a serious figure skater. He's already skating 5 days a week. His arches bother him on and off. How important is custom boots? More important to see podiatry. I've been putting orthotics in figure skaters since 20, 10 years old. This winter, we celebrated 14 years, I can't believe it, since Evan Lysacek, who grew up here in Illinois, won the 2010 Men's Olympic Figure Skating Olympic gold medal. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in the skate. Arch discomfort's one of the biggest areas. Custom boots can be helpful, but you really want to get podiatry's input regarding what's his particular foot type. And not only will orthotics be a major weapon in getting rid of the arch discomfort, every part of your son's skating will improve. That's what's excited me over the past 30, 40 years in the world of figure skating and orthotics. Terry says I'm a 44-year-old runner. I'm dealing on and off with tarsal tunnel. Talk about tarsal tunnel. There's a major nerve and tendon that run down the back of the ankle underneath the inner ankle
inserting into the arch. And that whole channel has a nerve involved with it. And when the area, the capsulous area, the groove that the nerve runs through becomes compressed, it can put pressure on that nerve in the tibial tendon area, causing shooting pain, causing numbness, causing other kinds of discomfort. And there are various conservative measures to deal with this. One of them is support, proper orthotic control, to not allow that collapse of the arch to be too aggressive or too more involved. There might be therapy, physical therapy dealing with the area, ultrasound, other kinds of therapies, soft tissue massage, cortisone injections might be very, very helpful. So you want to get Terry a proper diagnosis, including a diagnostic ultrasound test, which can really, really zoom in on that nerve tendon channel area along the inside of the ankle. Got some exciting news coming up, everybody. A New York FM station, an affiliate of WNEW. I'm going to be teaming up with the team doctor of the Yankees, Dr. Chris Ahmad, sometime in September. We're going to be doing a show. I call it On Broadway with the FM network. The sports doctor will be moving or including a new show. And one of the segments will be Dr. Chris talking about his world, team doctor of the New York Yankees. So we're very excited about that. I'll be participating this week with What's Your Racket with Lou Vickery. You know, Lou pitched to the Yankees back when Whitey Ford was his pitching coach. He had a show called Lou in the Morning in the Panhandle area years ago. I spent like 3 years with Lou. Once a month, I'd show up with the Sports Doctors in a segment, and he's got a YouTube show called What's Your Racket, and I participate on the sports medicine side in the world of senior tennis and men's and women's tennis, as well as the Sports Doctors In segment with the great TV show Run With It with Christine Blanchet. She's one of my frequent guests. She's the host of Run With It. She was a competitive runner on and off for years. She's still a serious runner. And she's a really terrific TV host. She's got a couple of other shows in the world of celebrities and health. Again, Run With It. And once a month, I spend about 5 to 10 minutes in a segment called Sports Doctors In, where we talk about everything involved in sports doctor-related stuff. So you could check all that out. I'll keep all of you aware of when we're going to be hitting Broadway with Doc Ahmad. And thanks to our friends at BBS. See you next week, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.